namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from text 25, Canto 1, Chapter 17. Idanim dharma padaste. Satyam nirvatayed yataha. Tam jigrikshatya dharmo yam. Anrite naidata kalihi. Idanim dharma padaste. Satyam nirvatayed yataha. Tam jigrikshatya dharmo yam. Anritenai tadha kalihi. Translation: you are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness. And you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The principles of religion do not stand on some dogmas or man-made formulas, but they stand on four primary regulative observances, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. The mass of people must be taught to practice these principles from childhood. Austerity means to accept voluntarily things which may not be very comfortable for the body, but are conducive for spiritual realization, for example, fasting. Fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity, which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Fastings, which are meant not for self-realization, but for some other purposes, are condemned in Bhagavad Gita 17:5-6. Similarly, cleanliness is necessary both for the mind and for the body. Simply, bodily cleanliness may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary, and it is effected by glorifying the Supreme Lord. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust without glorifying the Supreme Lord. A godless civilization cannot cleanse the mind because it has no idea of God. And for this simple reason, people under such civilization cannot have good qualifications, however they be materially equipped. We have to see things by their resultant action. The resultant action of human civilization in this age of Kali is dissatisfaction. So everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind was complete in the Satya age because of the existence of the above mentioned attributes of the human beings. Gradually, these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to 3/4, in Dwarapa to half, in this age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing untruthfulness. Now he summarizes. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Here's the reference, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17. Text 5 and 6. Ashastra viditam ghoram tapyante ye tapo jana, etc. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances, not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. It's pretty heavy. That's the reference where Prabhupada is saying, fastings which are meant not for self-realization but for some other purposes are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 17, 5 and 6. There's a number of nice subject matters in this section. The intention behind some activity is a very lengthy topic. The role or the function, not only of doing the right thing, but with the right intent, good intention is not good enough. But if one does the right thing in the wrong way or the right thing with the wrong purpose, you'll get a different result. Like we discussed yesterday with the Govardhan Leela, where Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj, what is the purpose of the yajna that you're arranging for? Because if one doesn't know the purpose of something, you will not get the full benefit. So what's the function of intention? That's a topic. The Sanskrit term for intention, one of them, is sankalpa. Sankalpa applies for devotees. Sankalpa applies for non-devotees. Sankalpa applies to the regulated. Sankalpa applies to the unregulated. It indicates the direction in which one is going. For example, in Karmakanda rituals, it's one of the essential elements in the ritual. So a person approaches a brahmana saying, I have such and such intention. I want good health, or I want my business to be successful, or I want something. Okay, I know the ritual. I know the mantras. And then when reciting the mantras, that's part of it's expressed. There's the presiding deity, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. Lord Vishnu's name is recited at the beginning. And then the devata is identified. Ganesh is invoked to remove the obstacles of achieving what? The intention is expressed. Propitiating the particular devata for what? Just like in the when Tvashta was performing the ritual, the Vedic mantras for creating, there was a purpose, creating an enemy who would kill Indra. So it's uttered, Indra Chatraho, But he didn't say Indrachatroho. He said Indrachatro. So in Vedic rituals, even not only the intention has to be explicit and clear, the exact pronunciation needs to be explicit and clear. And a little deviation, even one syllable, and he got the opposite result. He got an enemy who would kill Indra. Too bad. But so anyway, intention is very, very important. Just like, as a for example, some of you may have attended some japa retreats or some events like that. And common in the beginning is to explain the role of sankalpa and ask the devotees to contemplate what their sankalpa for that retreat is. And one way to ask the question is, ask yourself why you came here to the retreat. What's your expectation? What is it you're hoping to achieve? Like, what's your intention? And then write it down. Be explicit. Because intention works, this is my example, intention works like a magnifying glass. So some of us have done this. When I did it when I was a young boy. There's the sun. Here's a magnifying glass. Here's a piece of paper or wood or something, you know, can burn. And you take the magnifying glass, hold it at the right angle and the right distance, and you focus the light. So the light comes from the sun and it goes into the magnifying glass, and it, at the right angle, it makes a single point. And it's as hot as the sun. You move the magnifying glass a little bit and it doesn't do the same thing. It has to be the right angle. Hold it steady and it'll burn. You can burn your body. You can. So the energy is the energy of the sun. And the magnifying glass focuses it and makes it like the sun. So sankalpa works like that. There's, for us, there's the holy name. Or for the karmakanda person, there's an intention. And so there's the ritual, and there's the pronunciation, and all the details and procedures and so forth. But then it's very critical what the intention is. And then it becomes very powerful. The potency that's there becomes focused. So the point that Prabhupada is making in the purport here is specific to austerity. Is austerity means some inconvenience. Austerity doesn't mean it has to hurt. It may hurt, tapa. Generally, it doesn't hurt. It's just inconvenient. Here he's using the example of fasting, or another tapa is taking a bath in the morning. There are some places that I visit in China, and because of you have scarcity of water here, boy, do they have scarcity of water there. I met somebody that said when he grew up, it was in the northern part, and it's freezing cold, and there's very little water, and he grew up being accustomed to taking a bath once a month. Imagine that austerity. Which pick your austerity. Take a bath every day, even if it's cold, or take a bath once a month. That's an easy choice. But for persons in that place, taking a bath once a day that's an austerity. Anyway, each thing that we do in Krishna consciousness, that we have our 64 things. And other things. And what's the purpose behind them? You know the answer. It's for the purpose of bringing the mind to Krishna. Smartavya satatam vishnur. Na smartavya najata chit. Never forget him. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So the purpose is to awaken our attachment for Krishna, because it's not a mechanical always remember Krishna, it's a devotional always remember Krishna. It's not dependent upon circumstance. I remember Krishna when I'm feeling good and I don't remember Krishna when I'm feeling bad, or vice versa. I remember Krishna when I'm suffering, I forget Krishna when things are all right. It's not circumstance. It's not created by circumstance. Devotion isn't created by circumstance. Devotion is above circumstance. Ahoituki apratiyata. Without cause. Then mind can be fixed. The mind can be fixed when you're above duality and circumstance. There's no material causation of that. Then the mind can be fixed. And the opposite is also true. If the mind is attracted to the temporary in any way whatsoever, the mind cannot be fixed, because the temporary is always changing and the sense of what is happiness and what is distress is always changing. It's the platform of misery, actually. You know, seeking happiness in the temporary is the platform of misery. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita. Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. Dukha has a mother. And that's, the mother is the expectation of enjoyment from the senses contacting sense objects. That's the mother of dukkha. But the person who's doing, you know, looking for enjoyment by senses contacting sense objects, they're thinking it's happiness. Otherwise they wouldn't do it. They want happiness. But they want one who wants sensual happiness, senses contact sense objects. Expecting, therein is happiness. It's called marketing in the secular world. Encouraging people, like anything, to seek happiness in something they don't need. Have to create the hankering for that something they don't need. And people are running after that something they don't need, and means they're running away from that which they really need, that which is the position of real happiness, real contentment, real peace. So the point that's being made in the purport, emphasis is being made in the purport, is it's not just the activity itself, it's the purpose behind the activity. He's not saying it here, but he says it in conversations. Well, explicitly, Gandhi or some other political personality doing some fasting in order to, fasting makes one strong. You know, there's strength of mind and determination and so forth. Plus, what to speak of popularity and the martyrdom and all of that. For the purpose of what? Some political purpose. You know, it's a no-no. It doesn't lead to spiritual elevation. It's a no-no. Or more explicitly in Bhagavad Gita, it's demoniac. That's chapter 17. Demoniac. But demoniac persons are then exalted and lauded in society because they do, according to Bhagavad Gita, that which is demoniac. What kind of society is that? Oh, it's still on. Okay. So, the austerity, this, again, focusing on this point that's being made in the purport. Austerity, fasting twice a month, or four times a month, or more than that, because we, you know, with our, there are certain stretches in our Vaishnav calendar when it's fasting and then fasting and then fasting. You know, like Krishna Janmashtami, and then the next day is Prabhupada's appearance. Anyway, there are a number of experiences. What to speak of the whole month of Kartik, where we are engaged in some kind of vrata, whether it may not be fasting, it may be whatever it may be. Some devotees, it's increasing, whatever it is, increasing their japa or something or something. So that's a vrata that may be a little inconvenient. You know, convenience-wise, we don't normally do such and such. But for Kartik, we'll do such and such. And to maintain that for a month, it requires some mental discipline, because ordinarily we wouldn't be doing, but we're reminded by our vrata, and Supersoul is there reminding us, if we're wanting, you know, tuned into the Supersoul channel, he's reminding us. And it's purifying, but not for some material purpose, but for a purpose of spiritual elevation. I'll give another example of this, because I'm emphasizing it because Prabhupada does in the purport. There was a period of time in ISKCON's history where somebody born in India and having a background that wasn't, you know, like all the rest of us, wasn't rooted in pure devotional teachings, he had an interest in Ekadasi Vratas. So he became very learned in Ekadasi Vratas and wrote a book about how to observe each of the 24 Ekadasis this way, that way, the other way. You know, this austerity, that austerity, this eating, that mantra, that gift giving and charity giving and so on. It was entirely karmakanda. It wasn't for the purpose of spiritual elevation. And a kind of innocent devotees, not knowing the difference, because this was it was a sannyasi who was a little deviated and motivated and other things like that. So innocently, devotees became, wow, let's do this one this way and that one that way, and rooted in karmakanda ritual. So it stopped. But it was popular for a while, just, you know, due to innocence and ignorance and, you know, anyway, foolishness. Those things, this thing, that thing, observing Ekadasi in different ways with prescribed forms of not parching the elements of the body kinds of ways, or, that's the mode of ignorance, or aspiring to achieve this benediction, that benediction, and so I'll do this to get this benediction, that's the sankalpa factor. So it's very important for the lesson for us, the application of this point is, when we're engaged in our activities in Krishna consciousness, most important of all is the awakening of devotion to Krishna, the purpose behind each thing that we do. I'll just share this. When I was a new devotee, brahmachari, you know, 20-year-old, 21-year-old, enthusiastic young man, learning how to practice Krishna consciousness, living in an ashram. The training that we received, one of the trainings, was each thing that you do, ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? It was sankalpa lesson. Like, why am I getting up early in the morning? Why am I going to take a bath? Why am I putting on my tilak? Why am I tying my dhoti? Why am I running downstairs to go attend Mangalarti? Each thing, not just do it, but ask yourself why. It wasn't a bad kind of ask yourself, like doubting kind of why. It's mindful. Be present with the purpose for doing each thing. And, you know, a simple answer is because it's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted us to do this. Then you ask the next question, why did Prabhupada want us to do this? And then there's an answer behind that one, an answer behind. But it's sufficient if you understand that the chain and sequence of things is rooted in Scripture, and it's for spiritual elevation. Ultimately, it's to assist us to come to the stage of awakening, prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is to bring us to bhava bhakti, bring us to prema bhakti. But be conscious, not just mechanical. Be Krishna conscious. Start with being conscious. And then Krishna conscious, because behind all things in devotional life is satisfying Krishna. And immediately that rules out other things. If it's not for the pleasure of Krishna, or in our case, if not pleasing to Prabhupada, then it's simply with a big smile, no. One becomes very chaste and protected by that sankalpa, the clarity of intention of each thing. So Prabhupada is inserting this element of intention, the purpose of spiritual purification. And what does that mean? Different people in the world, it means different things. In Bhagavatam, it's very clear. It's awakening our love for Krishna. That which brings us closer to that position of awakened love for Krishna, that's the reason why we do what we do. And then another very curious, interesting, and important element in all of this is the weaving of the Panchatantrika system in the Vaidika system. By that I mean the Panchatantrika system is the rituals, like, you know, the rituals of deity worship, or the rituals of observing Kartik, or the rituals of sannyas, or the rituals of sangskaras, or the rituals. That's the Panchatantrika process. Ours primary text is Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas was compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and then handed over to Sanatan Goswami, who put it all together and it became published under his name. But whoever we tribute the authorship to, it's a how-to manual. How do we do things in our devotional life? And it's based on the Panchatantrika system. Because Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the son of Venkata Bhatta, there's a strong flavor of the same mantras and the same tantras, same procedures, as found in Sri Vaishnavism, but with the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. Gopal Bhatta had that privilege, advantage. He describes, or in the preface of that Hari Bhakti Vilas, because the BBT has translators working on translating Hari Bhakti Vilas, the day will come, we'll have it as a BBT publication. There's this introduction which explains that one of the systems that Gopal Bhatta used was he took the procedures that are also found in the Karmakanda rituals, but instead of names of different devas and so forth and so on, he's put the names of Vishnu. In for example, in the sangskaras that Vaishnavas do and non-Vaishnavas do. That's like we observe Akadasi and non-Vaishnavas observe Akadasi. But our purpose is the satisfaction of Vishnu and remembrance of Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is our objective. So we have that element in our and our lives, just like within this section that we're reading. There's rules and regulations pertinent to elevation in the modes of nature. Minus Krishna, it's material, but it's Vedic. And with Krishna, it's transcendental, and it leads to a transcendental objective. And it's something that, because it leads to a transcendental objective, shelter of Krishna, we accept it. We accept that which is favorable to devotional service, and we reject that which is unfavorable to devotional service. Yes, that's our, in the process of surrender, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, the first two of the six items of surrender. Accept things favorable, reject things unfavorable to devotional service to Krishna. So we accept those things because it's favorable. And if it's not favorable, we're not interested. It's just like, thanks, but no thanks. Not interested. Oh, well, what about, no thank you. And if it's favorable, we're interested. So the sankalpa connects with the activity. The intention decides what's to be done, what's not to be done. Guided by Scripture and guided by the acharyas that are helping us through Scripture. So we have these things that elevate one in the modes of nature. Mode of goodness is better than ignorance and passion. But that's not the essence. Just like in a very simple way, we have our regular principles, same as these two verses are indicating. We have these regular principles. They're purposeful. They generate an atmosphere of goodness. And within that atmosphere of goodness, the incubation chamber of goodness, we put the holy name. All you need is the holy name. Holy name. Krishna is independent. He's not dependent. Just chant the holy name in any condition of life. But you want to effectively chant the holy name, frame it in the quality of goodness. By chanting the holy name, the goodness features will, for the sincere chanter, in course of time manifest, but your sincere chanter, do the mode of goodness part. And so we have our two stages of initiation. First is Harinam initiation, and it's a Pancharatrika process. Through that initiation, one becomes connected to the disciplic succession in a formal way. And that's a Pancharatrika system, and then following that comes a Vaidika system. We receive Vedic mantras, once purified by the chanting of the holy name. And other further educational and purificational activities. So we're combining Pancharatrika and Vaidika system in how we practice Krishna consciousness as an organization and as individuals. And same as right here in this verse. It's emphasis upon that which creates Brahminical culture. And I'll just read the concluding sentence again. It's emphasis upon Bhagavad Dharma, which is independent of anything. Just hearing and chanting and remembering Vishnu. And the direct processes of bhakti. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Bhagavad Dharma stands alone. Bhagavan stands alone. Bhagavad Dharma stands alone. But it's connected in the Bhagavatam itself to, in these, this section, to principles that are cultivation and respect for Brahminical culture. They're not this or that. They're connected right within the Bhagavatam and therefore within our lives. The Bhagavatam is transcendental. It doesn't disregard anything else, but it transcendentalizes anything else, or it just leaves it alone. And that's what we're supposed to do also. I could do the last thing, you just read it again, because we covered it nicely or reasonably well yesterday. The item that's desirable, how it's destroyed. So Kali, we discussed this drama that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote and Prabhupada instructed Hayagriva how to orchestrate this drama that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. Kali planning how to rule in this world. So how to destroy austerity, pride. Prabhupada says real or not. So someone may have some opulence or something that which they may be proud of. And somebody else may not have anything and they think they have that something and they're proud of that something which they don't have. We all have experience of both. But if you want to destroy austerity, if you're the personality of Kali, by deception, that's exactly what it says in the verse. Truthfulness, is he's working on it. Pride. Destroy austerity. And then the converse is true. Reduce pride. Accept austerity. Be humble. Accept austerity. There's a higher purpose than what you have attained. Of course, Hiranyakashipu, he underwent austerity. But it wasn't for the purpose of removing pride. It was with the wrong intention. Want to destroy cleanliness? Too much affection for womanly association. You know, mixing, it's not just blaming women. Unrestricted association between men and women. Prabhupada would spend time going on and on about it. You know, in order to increase productivity, increase unrestricted association of men and women. Do it the other way. You know, what are our brahmacharis in different ashrams in different places around the world adding to the gross national product? Not a whole lot. There's a Chinese student at one university that I visit, and his major was finance, and he was, you know, he hadn't encountered anything like what he encountered when he came to this university. It was many different religious groups teaching different things. But he was spending time with our group, and one of the things that he picked up on is, you speak a lot about, you know, not indulging in sense gratification. But from the point of view of finance, that's completely against consumerism. Consumer economics is driven by people indulging their senses and sense objects. And, you know, what you're doing is it's completely counter. I mean, if everyone did what you said, it would be really bad for the gross national product. I said, you've understood correctly. But there's another. There's spiritual economics. He said, what's that? Well, there's books on it, but I can give you the essence. The essence is that which is meant for the service of Krishna, we accept it. So it's a whole other economics. He said, can I read some books on that? Sure. So there's culture, there's society, there's productivity, but the productivity has a totally different purpose in Krishna consciousness or in Vaishnav Dharma or Bhagavat Dharma. There's opulence. There's all the social orders are very productive and active. Prabhupada spoke about himself. He said, one thing I can say for myself that I was never lazy. So we're not meant to be lazy. because we're not, you know, chasing after sense gratification. We're meant to be very productive, but in a different way. In a different way. If you want to, if you're the personality of Kali and you want to destroy merciful nature of people, then increase intoxication. That's easy. We've discussed this yesterday. And if you want to destroy truthfulness, create an internet system. False propaganda. People can say anything to millions of people, and there's so much blah, blah, blah. I mean, Prajalpa amplified millions of times. And then people that are idle, that's where they go. One of the things where they go. Go to the internet and get your mind spun out. Just Kali. You can find anything there. Any rubbish, anything. It's there. Click, 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 and you're there. Rubbish. Give it a nice name. Sell shares. Market it. So, the challenge, the Srimad Bhagavatam recognizes it was written for the purpose of the advent of the age of Kali and what to do to diminish the pernicious effects of the age of Kali. It's Bhagavad Dharma. And Bhagavad Dharma, once again, is combined. It's primarily hearing and chanting about Krishna and connected with those principles that lead to spiritual elevation. But for spiritual elevation purpose, not for some other purpose. Then it's nice. And without, as the verse we read from Bhagavad Gita Stamaniak, godless civilization. Very popular. Godless civilization. So, we have a few minutes before we're supposed to go downstairs. Any comments or questions? Can you speak? Yeah.
You talked about always remember Krishna, never forget about him. About the circumstances or the duality. So, in practical application, how do we cultivate remembering Krishna beyond circumstances?
Beyond?
Circumstances.
How do we cultivate remembrance of Krishna beyond circumstances? It's by being attached to Krishna. I mentioned this yesterday. No problem saying it every day. When you're attached to someone or something, you think of that someone or something. Wherever I see your two boys. You're attached to them, and they're attached to you. You may be somewhere else. They may not be with you. And you're attached to them, and they're attached to you. So same. But it requires transcendental attachment, not the circumstance of proximity or any other thing. They're the eternal connection. And then there's remembrance. That which you're attached to, you remember. Love. Okay? That's the practice, there's a sadhana to bring us to the point of attachment. It means, you know, disconnecting from the other attachments, the temporary ones, and bringing us to the eternal ones, the essence, the goal of life. Something else? So this is an obedience question. I'm doing Krishna conscious activities because my superiors ask me to. But when I examine, I don't have any devotion. You said, remember Krishna, not mechanically, but devotionally. How can I improve in this area? Well, I addressed it. When you're doing your mechanical, you ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? Well, one answer is because my authorities asked me to. So it's obedience. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, obedience and love are different. They're on two different platforms. And there's certainly, where there's obedience, there's some personal connection. I'm doing because this other person. Maybe if I don't, I'll be punished, or I won't be, they won't like me, or something like that. That's, you know, fear, not or higher is duty. But it's different than love. So within that frame of obedience, let the light go on. You know, the chanting is there, that's the transcendental component, and the hearing is there, that's the directional component. And the ask yourself, the jigyasa, ask yourself the question, why am I hearing, why am I chanting, why am I seeking acceptance from someone? Why question? Why do I exist? I was introduced to somebody at a Rath Yatra this summer, and they said, I have just one question. Why creation? It's great. Keep asking the question. I mean, you can give an answer, but ask the why question. Don't be dull. The answers are there. Ask the question, you'll get the answer. Don't ask the question. Someone can give you the answer, and you won't even know you got the answer. Inquisitiveness, the spirit of jigyasu, is needed. So we're going to end so we can go get the deity. Srila Prabhupada ki.